just finishing up with speech therapy because I've had Parkinson's since 1988.
Wow.
And it had begun to affect my swallowing. And getting the volume out instead of mumbling and groaning in here. Who has this room so cold?
No.
What do you see? I'll take care of that.
Do you know how to adjust the...
All of these flowers are my baby, and that flower needs watering. It's just terribly cold for me in here.
Can you give me your full name?
Do what?
Give me your full name, please.
Ada Ruth. No. Ada, A-D-A.
A-D-A, Ada Ruth.
Husky, H-U-S-K-E-Y. Now that's two words, Ada Ruth is.
Got it. My messy handwriting.
Now I was born and raised in Moscow. I was born October the 29th, 1928. So I'll be 86.
Wow.
It's October.
I was also born in Knoxville. I'm Liz Teston, and I teach interior design at UT, and I'm interested in Knoxville's architectural history, specifically the Market Square.
Right in here.
Yes.
This is...
So you're showing me... I'm recording this right now.
Oh. I'm glad you told me it was alive.
Yeah.
This is the old market house. And I remember my mother taking me there when I was maybe 4 years old. And we would go in, and there was a favorite stall. What a stall is a section where the vendor has his or her supplies, food. And I always got a ham sandwich on a little bun, had this good homemade mayonnaise on it, and an orange crush, and the little bottle looked like hot tamale, that shape, you know, and it was so good. My mother would take us upstairs where they had church benches up there where you could go and eat.
Was it a big room? Upstairs? Was it a very large room upstairs?
Yes, nearly the whole top was open that you could go up and eat. And as the years went on, I'm going to advance a little bit with my history. When I got to be 13, 14, and my mother trusted me to go to downtown, she'd say, "Remember, young lady, you're not to go on the west side of the market house."
Why was that?
Because that's where the naughty studio was for the ladies in on the Roxy Theater. There were two, and they had stage shows. And
so it was a live theater, maybe exotic dancing.
Rialto and the Roxy Theater over there.
Okay.
So I grew up just on the east side.
You never ventured over to the west side?
No, not until I got to... up into the latter teenage years. And then I knew why, because unsavory characters were on that side of the street.
I wonder why. For, you know, versus the other side. I guess just the Rialto and the...
Well, I think that was the Rialto. I do know that the Roxy Theater was.
Roxy.
Now, I don't know whether you're going to find any of that in this history.
Perhaps. You're showing me the Images of America Knoxville book. I'll have to check it out. There's lots of good photos.
I will tell you this. My grandfather, my mother's father, had a country store out between Fountain City and Powell, and on Dry Gap Pike. And he had his sort of farm out there. And he would go into Knoxville once a month or once every 2 weeks and get his supplies with the horse and buggy, or the horse and...
To get farming supplies or for his store?
It was for the store, food supplies and for the store. But I had visited all the places down in my lifetime of going to Knoxville. And I want to impress you with this. When we dressed up to go downtown, we would have our silk hose on. This is when we got up to be early 20, 18 teenagers.
Okay.
But we didn't go with cut-off blue jeans, just a bra, sun bra. Honey, it was gloves, hat, hose, like you would supposedly dress up now to go to either to a funeral or go to church on Sunday.
So you've said we've dressed up to go downtown and other things like that. So where was home for you?
Now, you won't meet this out of everybody, you know, about dressing up to go to the market house. Mm-hmm. But we did, because that was in our routine of daily, monthly, weekly, whatever, that we did to go into town.
So where was your home?
Fountain City.
Okay.
About 8 miles to get in, about 8, maybe 5 to 10 miles out.
Mm-hmm.
Into the Fountain City Hall's Palace area. Mm-hmm.
So it was a special event to go downtown.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the event special was to get that little ham sandwich and that little jug of orange juice.
Did that vendor in that stall have a name, or was it you just knew which stall to get the ham sandwich?
It was personal friends that she would always go to that one, because they would have their homemade butter.
Mm-hmm.
You've never seen butter churned.
Mm-mm. No.
And the old ladies, when they would get their milk to where that it would clabber to get the butter to come in, they'd sit and they'd churn up and down, they'd holler.
They were churning butter there, or they churned butter at the market house, or?
They would have the mold. The butter already molded.
Okay.
On ice that they sold.
Okay.
But it was the preparation at home that they bought.
I see.
That we did our own butter at home. Cottage cheese and all.
Hmm.
But finally I went into the market house, and I won't drift away from it anymore. One end, the smell, where they would have the fish market. Then they would have other foods. It was clean. I mean, it was inspected. And, there's so much history here to bring you up to the market house of where the meat was brought in.
Oh, tell me if there's some side story that would help me understand it.
You know, right at Sharp's Gap, where 640, let's see, that's 275 and 640.
Mm-hmm. Meat.
Mm-hmm. On the right side of the gap, there was a huge spring that came out from under where the radio TV station mm-hmm. up on the hill. Well, right down to the side of that, there was a huge spring. Big old house straddled it at that time. Now that street, that spring is still there, but it's under the interstate, under 275.
Oh.
And it's channeled then to where it comes all down into the Tennessee River. So many people, children your age, would never know when they went down 275 that they were crossing
over a stream.
A huge. Mm-hmm. Now right in that same vicinity, there was a slaughterhouse, an abattoir.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where animals were brought in and judged. And an old uncle, great uncle now, was one of the monitoring of them bringing animals in. And he walked up to one fella and he said no to this cow. He had, and he had painted the cow, and Lige knew that the cow had cancer. He wouldn't let him bring it in. And that was one of the ways of watching good animals come in and what maybe some would try to get them. But we've come past that now. But in the market house, you would buy little cartons that opened up like this, and you could get oysters, whatever that you wanted.
What was the carton made of?
It was made out of white, like collapsible cardboard.
Uh-huh.
And you could get whatever you purchased, honey by the square, like it was cut out of the cone, put into that, whatever you had, that was your packaging.
And oysters, you said?
I was, as a child, I was amazed at the food.
Mm-hmm.
They had their chickens and everything dressed, and it would have them in a pan with ice to keep them. That was the refrigeration of it. I sit here and I remember what they did there about the food products that were there, the safety of it. And when I visited in Hong Kong in 1980, if you wanted a chicken at that time, they would tie the chickens' leg together and you took her home like this.
Right.
Home like this. But there, they had them prepared carcass-wise, you know. I could tell you a lot but more about overall Knoxville, what I experienced. I don't know whether
I have some questions that might help guide a little bit. Let's see. You mentioned the honeycomb, but one of these questions says, did you ever buy anything that was considered exotic or unusual for Knoxville at the time?
Well, I grew up, we had honeybees stands.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did, whenever the bees swarmed, that meant whenever they got overpopulated, the queen, new queen came out, or the old queen can come out, go up in the air, and that group of bees that went with her would follow her.
Mm-hmm.
The bees would be just swarming. We would get out and beat like tom-toms or the dishpan or whatever to make a noise to where the she would come down and land to where we could recover her. She would land and all the bees would get on her like this, maybe in a swarm that long.
So they're dangling down off of her?
Bees.
Mm-hmm.
We would take a...
like a rope.
Tablecloth or whatever we could get to cut her down, lay it down here, put the new hive close to her, thump on the wood of the hive, she would go into it, and the bees that afternoon would go in with her.
Hmm.
That was when they swarmed and went out. A lot of times they would swarm, go into the woods. You could watch her go. And 9 times out of 10, in going later months, you could follow the bees that came back to eat or whatever and find a bee tree. Now, a bee tree would be a limb that had a hollow section to it that the bees would go in and raise their honey in there. You could cut the bee tree down, recover the swarm of bees and maybe some of the honey.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, the honeybees have the queen. She has her own attendants. They feed her royal jelly. And the worker bees are the ones that go out, get the pollen or the nectar, bring it in, process it. There's workers in there that are taking care of the little sections that I have. The queen lays the egg in the little section to make the new bees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this a lot of fun to study this? It's far from the market house, but it's preparing to get your materials into the market house. Mm-hmm.
So people would sell their honey from their home in the market house.
Or else They could, but the honeycomb, or most of them canned it in quartz cans or pint cans or whatever cans that they had. Mm-hmm. And you would buy it. But it was sold by the color, the time of the year that it was harvested. White sourwood honey was a very favorite, popular tree. Honey was very popular. We need to get back in. But this all came back into the market house. This was the clearing house for the products that the people prepared to bring in to Knoxville. You didn't go to the store at that time and buy it off the shelf. It wasn't there, was it? There was nobody that had a market for it. It was the individual. They brought their garden products. They brought their trucks in and parked their trucks at an angle outside the market house as from their products, poultry, eggs, just anything, everything that the farmers had to sell.
And was that on the east side of the market house? Mm-hmm. Was that on the east side of the market house?
Most of the... Yes, I would think so. I wasn't over on the west. there was a, what the kids used to call a beer joint. It was a tavern. And I would Sunset, I think it was called Golden Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we knew not to go over there.
Okay.
You know, because that...
Because of the alcohol?
Mm-hmm. But, you were pointing out the S&W here, and this is the group of girls here.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Five and Dime store called Crest's on Gay Street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I worked there as a child, you might as well say from 14 to 16.
Okay.
I worked there. And they had a food area
counter
down in the basement. Well, they cooked the food at the S&W. And
would bring it to the Crest?
Mm-hmm. They would bring it in the market. They would bring it in the alleyway between Dyches and Crest's. But it was good food. It was just homemade, home-cooked food that they brought in to serve down there.
What was your job at Crest's? Did you work in the...